back with another edition of Brick House, previewing the NBA teams. We got the last non-playoff Eastern Conference team here, Matt, coming in at number 19. Checking the air pressure and the basketballs because this is Beantown, Boston Celtics. You know, the Boston Celtics kind of remind me of these franchise reboots that are going on right now. Mm-hmm. This is like the new Star Trek movies, you know? This is not Bill Russell or William Shatner. This is not Patrick Stewart or Kevin Garnett. This is Chris Pine and Marcus Smart. Not your father's Jean-Luc Picard or what's the name? Captain Kirk. Nope. They're a historic team, but they got all new faces. You might not recognize them. They're still mispronouncing Celtics, though, as is tradition.
Yeah. Oh, they're the ones mispronouncing it. Yeah. Yeah.
The
Boston Celtics doesn't sound...
Not as good. Not the same ring to it, I guess.
Right.
They still have the same beer-bellied leprechaun mascot, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to win 10 championships in a row or anything, but Brad Stevens makes a pretty great casting choice as the reboot coach for the Red Auerbach character.
Oh, yeah.
Boston Celtics, yeah. What's the saying? It's not to infinity and beyond. What's the Star Trek?
No, that's the Toy Story. live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper, Celtics, from Spock. All right, well, we want to introduce a new segment in honor of this last of the non-playoff teams. See, if we were going to build, like, pick and choose a roster, a starting five and a sixth man from the seven non-playoff teams that we've already previewed.
In the Eastern Conference.
In the Eastern Conference only. Let's say we're going to put together a team to make a run through the Eastern Conference playoffs.
Yeah.
I asked Matt to prepare his starting lineup. I don't know what he's chosen, but I thought this would be an interesting thing to debate. What we both agree on is these seven teams that aren't making the playoffs don't have a lot of very good players on them, which is why they're probably not making the playoffs.
Right.
But let's get into it. Where do you want to start, Matt?
I think we both agree on coach.
We both agree on coach. That's Brad Stevens.
Brad Stevens.
Definitely.
I didn't even look at the other coaches. I didn't even revisit the other coaches.
Stan Van Gundy has probably got a good shot. Yeah, I like Stan a lot.
You do. I tried to stay within the confines of position.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. I didn't pick two centers for point guard and center, or for power forward and center.
Okay.
Is that what you...
I mean, there are no rules, but I'm glad that we're following them strictly anyways.
Did you do that?
I stuck to some positions. Who do you got at point guard?
Kemba Walker.
Kemba Walker, we agree.
Yeah.
All right.
Why? I just, looking at the list of available point guards, he just seemed like the most competent.
Right. Yeah, I mean, my other choices were going to be Reggie Jackson or Brandon Jennings. I mean, the guy who I really wanted, but I put him in at sixth man, is Isaiah Thomas.
That's my sixth man, too. So
well,
we agree on that.
Two for two.
Yeah.
Three for three if you include Coach Stevens.
With me for the sixth man, there were a few that I would rather put in there. Like, I was thinking about putting Okafor in there, just sliding someone in, but then I realized that Isaiah Thomas is the sixth man.
Yeah, he's lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, he's the ultimate sixth man.
Okay, cool. We agree on all of these. Who do you got at shooting guard? I bet we differ here.
This one was really tough for me.
Uh-huh.
This was the toughest out of all of them, I think.
Yeah, me too. I think so.
I went with Oladipo.
That's a good choice.
Yeah. But I was torn between him and Avery Bradley.
Both defensive experts.
Yeah. There was a third. I think, who'd you pick? Because I think your pick was one I was also debating.
My pick was Joe Johnson.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about Joe, too, just for Joe Johnson-ness.
I think Joe Johnson on paper might be the flashier choice.
Yeah.
But if we both have the same small forward, and I'm guessing we do.
Yeah, that's why.
You want some defense on the perimeter.
That's why I was thinking Oladipo or Bradley, because I didn't want anyone getting in there and gunking up Carmelo's shots, because he was just going to chuck shots everywhere. And
Joe Johnson, yeah. Joe Johnson is like another Carmelo Anthony out there.
And I don't remember the small forward position being that close. For as much as I wanted to think outside the box, it just was Carmelo.
He's the he's got more all-star appearances probably than anybody else on the other seven teams, or at least on this starting lineup combined.
Yeah,
you know,
it might be. So yeah, Carmelo for both of us.
Carmelo for both of us. Power forward.
I went with Nerlens Noel.
Interesting. For more defense.
Yeah, for the same.
Not really going to space the floor.
No, he's just kind of long, and for a rebounding, just kind of a blocking rebounding. Again, you're right, he won't space the floor, but I didn't want some 3-point shooting power forward who was standing out there by Carmelo.
Yeah. And who would that have even been? Maybe Tobias Harris, I guess.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole bunch
to choose from.
Yeah, it's a real, it's really weird. Who'd you pick?
I picked another 76er, but I picked rookie Jahlil Okafor.
Nice.
Power forward. I think he's going to be really good. He's the guy I want to watch the most on the Sixers. If this is our fake team that we're marching out into the Eastern Conference playoffs, I think Okafor, I'll give him some points. I don't know how far away he can shoot, but probably a good 14, 15 feet.
Sure.
At least that much. So who you got as the big man? Who's holding us together?
I was thinking about Okafor, but I picked Al Jefferson.
That's a good choice.
Yeah, because
And you already have the defense in Noel.
Yeah, well, and Jefferson too. Just I really like Al Jefferson, but I also like that he's just an older guy. And you kind of know what you're getting from Al Jefferson. He's not really a wild card. And he's not a loose cannon.
He's possibly the best post-up player in the NBA.
Yeah, he's just a double-double guy regardless of the night.
And he never uses his left hand and still is a double-double guy.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
Yeah, so I like him. And so you didn't have Okafor in there. Who'd you have in there?
I got Andre Drummond. I felt he was the biggest no-brainer choice besides Melo.
As I stated to you right before we did the Pistons one, I completely forgot about Drummond. I think when I was looking at this, I didn't even take the Pistons into consideration for some reason. So,
well, if you got to choose again, would you pick Al Jefferson over Drummond again?
I probably would.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So we have Kemba Walker, Carmelo as unanimous choices, as well as Isaiah Thomas. I guess the question here is, if this were actually a team that was going to compete in the Eastern Conference playoffs, how far do you think they could go? I mean, this would be the best team Carmelo Anthony has ever had around him.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And they went to the West. He's gone to the conference finals before when he was in Denver. Do you think they could get that far? You think this is a team designed to beat the Bulls and the Hawks?
I guess it could. It seems like both of our teams were just a random collection of players, because I guess they are. But I guess there's enough going on to make them, sure, between Joe Johnson on your team, Joe Johnson, Carmelo, and Drummond, that is a really solid team.
Right. Kemba Walker's no slouch.
Yeah, Kemba and Okafor. Yeah, I would say that these two teams could give the Cavs a run for their money.
Yeah, best of seven series. How would it go against the Cavs?
Oh, I'd probably still take the Cavs.
Yeah, it's hard to bet against LeBron.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we actually started talking about the Boston Celtics. We built our fantasy team, but the fans still want to know what the Celtics are all about.
Previously on the Boston Celtics.
They're in full rebuild mode right now. Danny Ainge, I think you could argue, is one of the best GMs in the league right now. I mean, they're a rebuilding team, but he is just getting the best possible assets from trading, you know, their four best players over the past couple of years, but their four best players who are all injured, over the hill, washed up, and they're getting great draft picks for these guys. They're getting, you know, decent role players and stuff. I feel like their whole team is pretty much comprised of role players that would fit really well around a couple of superstars.
Well, they're only 3 years removed from the conference finals.
Wow.
So they, and that was a
quick rebuild.
That was a seven-game series against the Heat. They have been rebuilding on the fly, and it really helps when you absolutely fleece the Nets for all of their picks.
And so many people have fleeced the Nets.
Yeah, so they as we covered before, they got three first rounders and the option to swap a first rounder from the Nets. They have so many assets and so many first round picks that at one point in the NBA draft, Danny Ainge offered six first round picks.
Oh, right.
To
for what became Frank Kaminsky.
Yeah, to the Hornets. for
no thank you. 6 first round picks. Wow,
that's insane. Like
it's almost like a comedy. Like Danny Ainge knew they weren't going to do it, so he's just throwing out ridiculous things so he could tell the papers later. Yeah, they wouldn't take Larry Bird.
Yeah,
for Frank Kaminsky.
Right. You know? I don't even know. It almost seems like a deal you would just do just because you got to think you're giving up one and you're getting 6. The odds are in your favor. They aren't that far away. They made the playoffs last year. They're in a weird rebuild. Luckily, they're in the East, so it's a different type of rebuild because they were 40-42, which would have been in the mid to bottom of the Western Conference.
Question. Let's say there was an NBA player that sent Kelly Olynyk a big thing of flowers after he dislocated Kevin Love's shoulder in the first round of the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Who would that NBA player be? Who would send Kelly Olynyk a big thank you for dislocating Kevin Love's shoulder? I'm thinking maybe Draymond Green.
Yeah.
Who benefited from Kevin Love not being in the playoffs last year.
Right.
Maybe Taj Gibson, Joakim Noah. I think Joakim Noah and Draymond would be the kind of guys that would buy flowers for another man.
Yeah.
You know, maybe just to belittle him a little, but also saying thank you.
But also kind of in a actually I'm serious thank you way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was the big story last year in the playoffs. On a play I didn't think was necessarily dirty. Did you think it was a dirty play?
Oh, no. I think it was an accident from a gangly, goofy MF-er.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the exact phrase his parents used to describe him to other people, too.
I have a theory for you. My theory is that because the turnover of the Celtics is being so fast, if you look at their depth chart, they have like 45 guys on the team right now. my theory is Danny Ainge is siphoning all these players through his team as fast as possible. So many NBA players disperse amongst the league who have played, you know, either anywhere from one game to 50 games under Brad Stevens. They'll spread the word to all the future free agents out there about what a great coach Brad Stevens is.
Yeah.
So this gets to as many NBA players as fast as possible
to lure
those superstars to Boston.
He wants to infect the league with Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, get the rumor mill churning. The team is actually owned by a unique group. So many of these NBA owners are private managers, private equity managers. The Celtics are actually owned by a private equity group that's managed by one Wick Grousbeck.
Mm-hmm.
Wick, I formerly only heard as a name as the character who manages George Costanza's ex-wife's estate.
Wow.
Pretty funny character.
Yeah.
Wick. Well, fun name to say.
His name is Wyclef, so that turns into Wick, I guess.
Wyclef. I did not know
Wyclef,
that.
Yeah.
Wyclef Grousbeck.
Yeah, so I guess technically...
President of Haiti.
Yeah. You can call him Wick, which I think it would be Wick. Otherwise, it's Wyke, which is a really weird... I don't know if anyone wants to... My name is Wyke. So yeah, Wick.
So, yeah, these guys, I couldn't really find anything about them except that...
That's how they want it to be.
Wick and his father, were entrepreneurs and equity investors. Wick worked for this equity company for 7 years before deciding, you know what, let's put together an equity fund with 20, 30 other rich Massachusetts residents and own the Boston Celtics. Let's buy them.
Would his dad be H. Irving Grousbeck?
One and the same.
Which is the most old rich man name you could ever...
Irving, yeah.
H. Irving, yeah.
One interesting thing, since there's not a lot of interesting stuff about the Grousbecks, was Wick is now on the board of the Formula E Holdings, which in 2013 is a new fully electric car auto racing championship.
Wow.
So there's that. There's Stephen Pagliuca, some Italian last name. He's a private equity investor and a managing partner of Bain Capital,
mm-hmm.
The same Bain Capital that was co-founded by Mitt Romney. other than that, yeah, it's all owned by this group. They're all from Massachusetts. They all grew up Celtics fans. The Celtics are now the fourth most valuable franchise in the league. They bought the team in 2002 for $360 million. And in the past year, the group has reportedly turned down at least two serious offers from people that want to buy the
team.
They
got to be pushing a billion, I would think, for the Celtics.
As the fourth most valuable franchise, that's got to be only behind the Lakers, Knicks, Nets.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Right.
But who plays for this team?
And now, the starting lineup for your Boston Celtics!
Like I said, it's a huge roster, but let's talk about the starting lineup. And Matt, we're going to beg you to please tell us your Perry Jones story.
Okay, well, it's the roundabout Perry Jones. We'll get to that.
Yeah, but the starting players.
So the additions this year, the draft picks, they got Terry Rozier, RJ Hunter, and Jordan Mickey. Those were the three main draft picks that they had.
A couple of exciting players. RJ Hunter hit that game-winning shot in the tournament. His coach's son.
Right. They were saying, I think
sharp shooter.
Saying between him and Devin Booker, the two best shooters in the draft, which it never hurts.
Never hurts to have shooting.
Especially when they take him. They took him in the 20s. They took him in the late first round. Might as well.
Picked up David Lee.
Yeah, they at power forward, they have a whole bunch of David Lee, Amir Johnson, Jared Solinger, which was their starter. I see on this depth chart is listed third, which I would imagine isn't correct. He'll play more than third.
Or some small ball center, maybe.
Yeah. Well, with the centers of Tyler Zeller and Kelly Olynyk, I think...
I had David Lee starting at center next to Amir Johnson.
That's what I was going to say is... The seven names on this depth chart of center and power forward could kind of all play.
Right. Plus they have Jonas Derebko, who's not a bad player.
It's just one giant power forward center spot.
Yeah. They have a lot of shooting guards, too.
Yeah.
Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder, RJ Hunter, James Young, Marcus Thornton. I mean, that's a lot of shooting guards.
Yeah. They like you said, they have 45 players on this roster. They're trying to breathe life into Evan Turner, which I guess they did all right last year. His stats weren't great, but I guess he didn't play bad for the time he was in. Although he shot 27% from three, which is pretty terrible. So I retract that statement.
What about this statement? This is a true or false question for you, Matt. True or false, the Boston Celtics are the only team in the NBA whose sixth man is the best player on the team. By that, I mean Isaiah Thomas is the best player on
the
team.
But that's where he should be sixth man. That's where he thrives because you expect your sixth man to come in and just be lightning in a bottle and start shooting. Yeah, it's weird.
It's all arguable, but Marcus Smart, Avery Bradley, even David Lee. I like Isaiah Thomas more. I mean, he's 5'6", 5'7", not going to play a lot of defense, but... I mean, the guy wants to be the greatest NBA player ever under 6 feet.
The Celtics got him from the Suns, I think, for just a late first rounder, because the Suns were a point guard mess this past year.
Yeah, I was really surprised to see them trade him. Yeah. He's on a very favorable contract. I think he gets $1 million more than Jody Meeks.
Yeah, the Jody Meeks comparison deal. And he might not even get more than Jody Meeks, actually.
I actually think another one of their best players is off the bench, Jay Crowder.
Yeah, Crowder.
He could fit in on any championship contending team.
He played real well last year. He was taking a beating in some of those playoff series.
Well, he literally got punched in the face by J.R. Smith.
Yeah, he was always on the ground, always getting kicked, always getting punched.
And he tears MCL or something when Smith hit him.
Jody Meeks and Isaiah Thomas make about the same money, actually.
Wow. Evan Turner, I always think of as the villain now because of
Mark Titus.
He wrote this book, Put Me In, Coach.
It's one of the funniest books I've ever read.
Yeah. He was high school teammates. Don't Put Me In, Coach. Yeah. Right. He was high school teammates. This white player was high school teammates with Greg Oden and Mike Conley, and then went on to be their college teammate as well at Ohio State, but they both left after 1 year for the NBA. And his whole book is just about being a bench warmer and the founder of Club Trillion, which is when you play 1 minute in a basketball game and have zero stats otherwise.
Yeah.
Hence the trillion.
Yeah.
One followed by 12 zeros, whatever it is.
So he called Evan Turner the villain.
He called him the villain because he just thought he was such a jerk and so arrogant. Yeah. And in fact, I don't even really remember any stories that justified that name exactly right at this moment.
Yeah.
But either way, I can only see Evan Turner as the villain from now on. I think even Bill Simmons calls him that.
Yeah, it's amazing. But he would start at small forward. I would say I think they're probably going to start Isaiah Thomas. So it'd be Isaiah Thomas.
Avery. Over Smart?
I don't know. If it was... Maybe because Brad Stevens is smarter than me. So we'll go Marcus Smart with Isaiah Thomas off the bench. Bradley at 2, Turner at 3. I guess Lee at 4 because they traded for him. Lee or Solinger, and then – or Lee at 5.
Lee has got to be their highest paid player
season. He was the highest paid player on the Warriors,
right.
Yeah, and then some combination of Lee, Solinger, Zeller, Olynyk in the 4-5 glob of stuff.
Well, I want to get into in their record next, but Matt, will you please tell our listeners the Perry Jones story?
Yeah,
one of my favorite stories.
I heard a few years ago when Perry Jones was coming out in the draft, he had dinner with one of the NBA coaches. They were at dinner, and this coach was talking to him about what he thought his future in the NBA was. He was saying, you know, you played the 4 and the 5 in college. Do you think that your game would translate to more of a small forward, power forward? Where do you see yourself fitting? And Perry Jones's response was, yeah, that's cool. I could play that. But let me ask you this. How come you never see any baby pigeons? And from what I heard is the coach, when he heard that, instantly,
check, please.
Instantly said in his mind, okay, we are not drafting you. Thank you for playing. And
poor Perry Jones.
He ended up on the Oklahoma City Thunder. So
he went from like top 5 prospect to almost out of the first round.
Yeah. He was more concerned about why you don't see any baby pigeons than his actual NBA.
Well, thank you so much for that. That is great. New member of the Perry Jones fan club here.
Record prediction.
I think they go over 500 this year.
Yeah, okay.
I think, let's say they went 40 and 42 last year. Let's switch it, 42 and 40.
Fair enough. I have them at 2 less wins than last year, but all very close. I mean, I only put that because arguably the last 2 games they played against Cleveland let them win.
Oh, yeah. So,
they would play them in the playoffs.
So technically they ended up with a win or 2 more than they should have last year.
Exactly, 2 more, right.
Yeah.
But again, as another team where I feel like I could be right on or completely wrong about where they finish. You know, it makes me think of...
What the fuck has anything got to do with LeBron James?
I feel like the Celtics are a big reason that LeBron James ever went to Miami. If he were able to get past the Celtics with Delonte West and Varejao by his side the first time, then he would have had no reason to go to Miami.
Right.
But because they put together the big three, not only did they stop LeBron from making the finals more than once, but they also gave him the blueprint for the big three and the team that he put together with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. That's it for LeBron's part.
I will say this. Out of all the LeBron James segments, even though that might have been the quickest, that makes the most sense and fits in most with the team. I like that. It actually makes a lot of sense.
And now it's time for a personal anecdote with Matt Baker.
You know, Boston's really known for their seafood, and Matt and I had some fish tacos once together.
Yeah, we had them once.
Senior Fish, shout out. But what's your favorite seafood, Matt? Are you a crab and Old Bay kind of guy? Or if you had one seafood dish for the rest of your life, what would it be?
I'm a shrimp man.
Shrimp man. Jumbo shrimp or just regular shrimp?
This is a true story. Last night, I had macadamia nut shrimp, and it tasted like candy. It was amazing. It was amazing.
That sounds good.
It was a sushi place over in Glendale, and we went there for a buddy's birthday, and they just started ordering stuff, and I saw the shrimp with all the sauce on top, and I just ate it, and it tasted like candy, and I asked what it was. They said it was macadamia nut shrimp.
Mm.
And I like macadamia nuts, and I like shrimp, and that might have been the best shrimp tasting thing.
Last night, you just had the best seafood of your life.
Yeah, and it's not like a story for podcasting. This is a true, true story.
What's the name of this place? I'm going to try this.
Kumadori. Yeah, it's
in Glendale?
In Glendale.
Cool. Well, macadamia nut shrimp.
Yes.
At Kumadori. I'm going to have to check it out.
On the next episode of Brick House.
We're getting into another team. This is one I actually expect to make the playoffs. They missed the playoffs last year, and the two previous years before that, they were in the conference championship. You know, most of the NBA is pretty steady. These guys have been real up and down. You're going to have to tune in to find out who I'm talking about on the next episode of Brick House. We'll be right back.